Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Join us for the Mexican International Film Tour to take place this May 20th and 21st at the Broadway Theater in downtown Salt Lake City. For more information, please visit saltlakefilmsociety.org.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk to the folks behind the ARRC fundraising organization, we hear some music from Daisy and the Moonshines and Color Animal, and we also talk to the good people behind Swipe for Humanity. The Animal Rights Rehabilitation and Community Enrichment Fundraising Organization, or as we call it sometimes if we're trying to be a little more brief, the ARRC Fundraising Organization, is a nonprofit based right here in Salt Lake City, dedicated to promoting a more enriching lifestyle where animals play a bigger role in their owners' lives and in the community at large. Along with throwing fundraisers and group meetings, the organization promotes community events such as the Legacy Initiative and Second Chance for Homeless Pets. Slug writer Rebecca Frost chatted with a couple folks from the organization, Shy Bassett and Jordan Evans, about the group and the work they do.
What was the driving force behind the decision to found a new organization that focuses on animal rights instead of joining forces with an already existing group?
Well, basically, I actually went to start a rescue. In that process, I found that all these rescues compete for the same funds, which causes a detrimental loss of camaraderie. And I don't know if you've gone around to any of the rescues around here, but none of them are doing all that great. Whereas if they would all just team up, they would all be able to do much better. So at first I was going to look towards something like, you know, a rescue that kind of helped them team up. And then I figured, well, why even do the rescue? They've already got that handled. Why not just bring more funds? Do some things they're not doing to bring more funds to the industry.
What impact have you noticed in the community due to your efforts?
Honestly, we split our funds between three organizations. Two of them were animal welfare. We threw in the community enrichment with the Legacy Initiative. I'm sure you probably heard of them. And if not, you will soon. Mm-hmm. They're a homeless outreach organization, but basically because we were splitting our funds through three organizations, our donations were at the most a couple $100, and more often they were about $80. So we've definitely made an impact. Obviously, if a dog needs veterinary care that's at a rescue, they normally don't have funds to cover that, so that $80 was definitely helping. We definitely have made the impact in the community that we expect to once we secure a little bit more network, I guess, is the main thing.
So there are many rescue and different foster groups in the Valley, but ARC works beyond simply rescuing animals. What work do to go beyond the rescue aspect, which you've kind of already elaborated on about just raising funds?
Yeah, so the funds originally was my main priority. After getting going a little bit, though, I recognized the main, in my opinion, this is obviously very opinion-based, this one is, but in my opinion, the main reason why there are so many homeless animals, and there just continues to be more and more homeless animals every year, is a mindset problem. It's not anything wrong with the animals, it's not anything wrong with the people themselves. It's this mindset we have of pet animal, basically the human-animal bond. So I felt like if I started doing specifically organized events to kind of force people to work with their animals, and really the only way you could succeed at the event is by working with your animal, and the better you work with your animal, the better you do in the event. I feel like that'll kind of manipulate the start to a mind change, and I'm not about manipulation. I like people to come across their own problems and fix their own problems. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if we just get them working with their animals a little bit, they're going to come across their own problems in competing. That's why most of our animal empowerment or pet empowerment activities that we will be doing are competition-based, because humans learn through competition and animals like to compete.
Yeah.
Those are some events that I'm really excited for, because we'll make a pretty significant impact, I feel, in the amount of animals that are made homeless every year. We also plan on doing a couple things, basically just putting reminders around. I don't know if you've seen what IHC does in parking lots, mm-hmm. but they put their Live Well parking spots, mm-hmm. and if they catch you in them, they'll give you a prize. We plan on doing the same thing, but with animal fun facts. So, I mean, if you were someone that was thinking about getting rid of your dog, mm-hmm. and you took your dog for a walk, and just while you were walking, you saw a sign that taught you some new little fun fact about that type of dog, you may go home a little less inclined to get rid of it. And if you're still going to get rid of your animal, you're going to care a lot more about where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all about, is change that mindset to care more. We need to stop separating ourselves from animals because we're animals ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start treating everything and everybody equally. I know that's big right now in Utah, but people still kind of look at animals like they're a lesser creature, and that really just drives me nuts. I get pretty frustrated when people say things like that. I mean, I just got in an argument yesterday. Somebody said, well, I mean, they're lesser creatures, and I'm like, really? And I brought up a couple points about some animals that, in my opinion, makes them a little more cognitive in some ways. And, you know, they kind of just stop and like, oh, wow, well, I guess you're right. So.
Yeah. So your mission statement focuses on a specific idea of raised awareness, when really the efforts you put forth reflect a more complex idea. Can you elaborate on why your organization does more than just raise awareness?
Because it's not working, basically. Uh-huh. And I mean, I get in fights. I try to get along as best I can, but I get in fights with rescue people all the time because I'm very brash. I don't sugarcoat anything. I don't dance around the bush. I feel like that's a waste of time. You can look at the numbers, and in the last 10 years, the amount of homeless animals, and they base these statistics off cats and dogs mostly, the amount of homeless animals has gone up in the last 10 years. Now, the rescue industry's done a good job at keeping the amount of animals euthanized at about the same. So there's a sliver of good that they are doing, but it's not going backwards.
Gotcha.
And I mean, in all reality, you can talk to any rescue person in a reality mindset if you can get to them to talk to them about their numbers in a real mindset, because sometimes, you know, they don't really want to admit it. I mean, a rescue person, in my opinion, every single life is just as important as the last, which to me, every life is very, very important. But when you start thinking about each and every life as that's your goal for the day, is to save that one life, you forget about the main goal, which is to save all lives.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does it, but you kind of start to run yourself off your own track. And a lot of times, before you realize you're off your own track, you're too far to get back on. We just feel like there needs to be more done. Like I said, there's got to be a mindset change somewhere. We've got to get people to start recognizing a new way of having pets.
Mm-hmm. So as part of that mindset, what changes would you like to see in the community in regards to people and their relationship with their pets?
I think people should treat their pets as family members. We're all animals, so I don't see why my kids are any different than my dogs. And obviously in my household, they're not. My dogs actually get treated better because my kids can fend for themselves and my dogs can't. So really just a realistic care. I want people to realistically look at animals, address why they have them in their lives, and then treat them appropriately. I mean, I meet people that have outside dogs. When I've talked to those people, if I can get them to be realistic with me, it's the same thing every time. They have dogs because their family had dogs when they grew up.
Yeah.
So they're just used to having dogs. Other than that, there's no reason why they have that dog. And in my opinion, that's disgusting. You're treating that dog as a lamp. And I tell people, I love this analogy, I tell people all the time, you get an animal and treat it as an appliance in your household. And that's the problem right there. Because when I run across hard times, I'm gonna go pawn my lamp. So when people run across hard times, they go and get rid of their dog first off, and that's, you know, I mean, my kids will start eating less quality food before I get rid of my dogs, you know what I mean? Like, my kids would probably stop eating before I would get rid of my dogs. Like, we would figure something out.
When you hit hard times.
Yeah.
For more information on the organization, visit them online at arrcfo.com. Daisy and the Moonshines is a five-piece groove grunge band from right here in Salt Lake City. They originally formed back in 2011, releasing a debut EP called Daisy in December of that year, while simultaneously booking shows all over the valley throughout the year. In August of 2012, they released a follow-up EP called Moonshine and had an official release show at Slugs Localized at Urban Lounge. That was followed up by the release of the Architect EP in November of 2012. We're going to play a song from their 2011 self-titled EP. This is called Screamin' Dogs. To read more about Daisy and the Moonshines, check out our August 2012 issue of Slug at slugmag.com. And for more information on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/Daisy and the Moonshines. And the band played on is Plan B Theater's celebration of the First Amendment, returning to the Rose Wagner on May 3rd, featuring Carrie, Bill, and Gina from X96, Salt Lake County Mayor Ben McAdams, Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker, Salt Lake City Councilman Stan Penfold, actor Ann Decker, Utah State Senator Jim DeBacchus, and Utah State Representatives Joel Briscoe, Rebecca Chavez-Hauck, Jennifer Seelig, and Carol Speckman-Moss, reading from banned children's books. Tickets and info at planbtheater.org.
Artes de Mexico in Utah and the Salt Lake Film Society are pleased to announce the Mexican International Film Tour to take place this May 20th and 21st at the Broadway Theater in downtown Salt Lake City. The free and open to the public program this year features a feature-length movie and several shorts that will tackle several issues, including the border, families, and LGBT community. All films are in Spanish with English subtitles and will be followed by a Q&A. For more info, please visit saltlakefilmsociety.org.
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning April 29th and running into the first week of May, May 5th. Yes, believe it or not, we are into May. That means summer is just around the corner. Very exciting stuff going on this week. Go to slugmag.com, scroll down to the bottom of that homepage. You'll find listings, lots of stuff to choose from. These are the highlights as far as I'm concerned of this week. Tuesday, April 29th, Anvil at Bird's Tiki Lounge. If anyone out there has never seen the Anvil documentary from a few years ago that was at Sundance, play it all over VH1, do yourself a favor. It is an awesome movie. Whether you're into metal or not, you will love that film, and it'll be pretty cool to see those guys playing at Bird's Tiki Lounge. Same night, I know a bunch of the alt-rock kids will be over at the Urban Lounge for War Paint, along with James and Super Cave. That should be a fine show as well. Wednesday, April 30th, Childish Gambino. That would be one Mr. Donald Glover, who people might remember from Community when he was on there for a few years. He's performing at the Complex. Childish Gambino is his hip-hop persona, and it's not too shabby, I must say. Thursday, May 1st, another fine rock show over at the Urban Lounge, the Dodos, along with locals Holy Water Buffalo. While out at the Saltaire, it's Mrs. Skrillex. I guess they're not married yet. Ellie Goulding, she's headlining out at the Saltaire. That should be a big, big, big show. On Friday, May 2nd, a really good show at the Stateroom, Little Hurricane and Arclife. Fine, two fine bands. I really enjoy both those guys. While people down in Provo will certainly want to make their way to the debut of this summer's Provo Rooftop Concert Series. This time around, it's Desert Noises, the National Parks, and Strange Family all taking the stage. That weekend is also the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary No-Kill Utah Pet Adoption Weekend at the Utah State Fair Park. That runs from Friday all the way through Sunday, so if you're looking to get a new critter in your life, that's a fine opportunity to do so. On Saturday, May 3rd, Desert Noises comes up to Salt Lake City for a show at the Urban Lounge alongside Future of the Ghost. That should be a blast. Their album is out now. They're going to be touring all over the country this summer. And that is also Free Comic Book Day, of course, at various venues all over the valley. That's on Saturday, May 3rd. And then finally, Sunday, May 4th, Mastodon, winding it up with a little more metal. Big metal show at the Depot should be a blast. I've seen those guys several times. Always fun. As always, I heartily recommend you going to slugmag.com, checking out those listings. There's always great new stuff being added every day of the week. And of course, if you're the kind of person who throws shows, throws events, has a band, you can put your own listings on there for free. For a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some links to that content. There's your weekly daily calendar for the week of April 29th to May 5th. Color Animal is a four-piece alternative rock band from right here in Salt Lake City, comprised of several longtime Utah musicians, including Felicia Baca, Tyler Ford, Seth Howe, and Andrew Shaw. They released their debut album called Vision Lies back in December of 2012. We're going to play a song from that one. This is called Give Me Just a Little More Time.
Complete you. Then I'll take.
more information on the band, visit them at facebook.com/coloranimalrocks. Swipe for Humanity has sort of a creative way to do a little charitable fundraising. It's a credit card processing company that uses part of every transaction fee to go towards charitable causes. What happens is that people and businesses who wish to use the service, they apply with their own banks, and once they're approved, 50% of the transaction fees will be donated to the cause of their choice. Swipe for Humanity has worked with groups such as Liberty in North Korea and Apollos Global Citizen. Slug writer Tim Cronenberg chatted on the phone with co-founder Joshua Chang about the company.
When was Swipe for Humanity created?
Come August, that'll be 2 years for us. But, I mean, we still feel like, you know, I mean, we still feel like we're just starting right now. I feel like we're just at that point where, you know, we're about to, I think, break through and get to that next level, which is, you know, getting more businesses and companies on board. So far, we've been just working directly with businesses and companies that sort of already have a give back program that are a little bit more aware of these sort of issues, right?
Mm-hmm. And they sort of found you think? Or
yeah, I think it goes sort of hand in hand. I think some companies we've reached out to, whereas other companies, they've reached out to us wanting to work with us. Because like I said, a lot of these companies know nowadays that they have to implement some sort of way of giving back, right? Just from a business standpoint, they see that there's a huge, even if it's just a marketing opportunity, this is a great way to do it because it really doesn't affect their business, right? It's just something that they've already had in place in the back end, and all we're doing is sort of repurposing it, right? And so we handle both POS, like face-to-face transactions. We're doing most of our companies, actually, we've handled all of their e-commerce payment solutions, and then now we're slowly making our way into sort of the mobile market and seeing, you know, where we can sort of, you know, find our place in that space.
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously we've talked about Swipe for Humanity, but you could maybe break that down for us a little bit more because it's some pretty interesting stuff.
I think Swipe for Humanity kind of started with the basic sort of desire that we see that there's so many causes around the world that are doing amazing work. But one thing that we found was a lot of these causes, nonprofit organizations, are in constant need of funding. And unless you're a big organization and you have sort of a steady stream of, say, donors, or large donors especially, a lot of these nonprofits,
they just fizzle away, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that a lot of nonprofits, while they should be, you know, focusing on what they do best, a lot of times they're hampered because they're, you know, looking for the next round of funding, right?
Sure.
So we looked at that need and saw, you know, is there a way, we kind of asked, you know, is there sort of a new way where we can create sort of a sustainable channel of funding? And not only that, though, but we wanted to sort of, we see that there's a huge shift in our consumer culture, right? We got the younger generation, our generation, basically, who sort of are looking at companies these days, products these days, and, you know, asking, are these products doing good for our community, you know, our environment? And a lot of nowadays businesses are sort of looking to have to, let's say, give back. And so you see sort of the Tom's model, right? You buy a shoe, they give a shoe away.
You give it back.
And yeah, exactly. And so we wanted to find a way for also a business to get involved in terms of sort of doing good, right? But we want to do it in a way where businesses don't necessarily have to change their entire business model.
Or rather than just like a tax write-off sort of a thing, you know?
Right, and so we wanted to basically allow businesses to give back to a nonprofit that they're, you know, passionate about, and we wanted to do it in a way where it was quite seamless and it didn't really hamper anything. So we looked at this business service called credit card processing. I think the majority of people know sort of, I think they're well aware that, you know, anytime they process or they use their credit cards, there's this processing fee that the business has to pay. That's why sometimes when you go to a small mom and pop store, they say, you know, minimum for a credit card use is what, $5, right? You've seen that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so businesses are basically paying these fees to what you call a merchant processing service, the middleman basically between the business as well as the MasterCard and Visas of the world, right?
Yeah, just the middleman to kind of handle the money and get it in the right hands.
Exactly, and so they're paying these rates and fees, and so we looked at that and said, you know, is there a way, you know, where we can basically come in and basically replace these merchant services, the middleman, with sort of a solution that obviously offers the same product and the same service. But what we'll do is we'll redirect those fees that are typically going to the pockets of a lot of these sales agents that are sort of working in between the processing, merchant processing and the business, and redirecting those fees to a nonprofit or a cause that the business wants to support. And so basically for us, what we do is we process cards, but sort of our program is all about, you know, we didn't want to, again, change the makeup of the business. So basically we tell a business owner that whatever you're currently paying for your processing rates will 100% match. So you're not paying any more with us. Sometimes a business will be paying something that they didn't even know that they were paying. And so what we'll do is we'll go ahead and address those fees as well. And sometimes we're even lowering the rates. But ultimately, our goal is to match their rates. So they're not paying any more with us. But what we'll do is we'll redirect 50%, half of those fees that was normally going to the processing merchant account service or whatever, and redirecting those fees to their nonprofit.
So rather than upselling a customer, you're just helping them out and giving back to the world, essentially.
Essentially, yes, exactly.
Cool. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about what the charities you kind of work with right now, Are customers like allowed to choose where their money goes?
Just so that it's a little bit more, organized for us, is that we've allowed businesses to choose the nonprofit that they want to support on a quarterly basis. And so a business will decide, hey, I want to support either, you know, my local elementary school, which we've done, or they want to support a cause that's doing, you know, amazing work out in China rescuing North Korean refugees. We'll allow the business to choose. Now, from the consumer angle, you know, they don't really have sort of a hands-on experience in terms of choosing specifically at this moment. But, you know, anytime they swipe their card, it'll go to that nonprofit that the business has decided to support. And what this sort of opens up, obviously a great marketing opportunity for a business. So typically a business will decide to choose a nonprofit that kind of fits their own sort of...
their image.
Their image, exactly. And so we got, you know, a few, for example, local restaurants that will support the local high school, or we got sort of a brand, that's in the whole, you know, surf and skate industry that will support like the Surf Foundation.
Okay, cool.
So it opens up, you know, a few avenues for the businesses to sort of, you know, market around.
For more information on the organization and their work, visit them online at swipeforhumanity.com. As always, thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to fire up your interwebs machine and visit us online at slugmag.com. We have Jeffrey Stebbin from Yelp Utah coming back into the studio to talk about wings. You know, wings. We all love wings. They're all over the place. Lots of bars, lots of restaurants. We want to hear what your favorite joints are to pick up a basket of wings. Send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @slugsoundwaves or on Facebook via facebook.com/slugsoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is one Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. The main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Once again, you'll want to fire us up again next week when we have Mike Riedel talking about the latest local beer news, and Yelp Utah is here to talk about them wings. Thanks for listening.